Today is the 11th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's fantastic to be here with you today as we gather and take the next step forward together. I am grateful that we can take the next step forward together. Grateful that we can be together to take the next step. And so let's do that. We're reading from the New English Translation this week. And picking up where we left off yesterday leads us back into the book of 1 Samuel. And we are at the precipice of a very different era. We're about to anoint a king over Israel, something they've never had before. And so let's dive in. 1 Samuel 10 and 11. Then Samuel took a small container of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head. Samuel kissed him and said, "The Lord has chosen you to lead his people Israel. You will rule over the Lord's people and you will deliver them from the power of the enemies who surround them. This will be your sign that the Lord has chosen you as leader over his inheritance. When you leave me today, you will find two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on Benjamin's border. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you have gone looking for have been found. Your father is no longer concerned about the donkeys, but has become anxious about you two. He is asking, "What should I do about my son?" As you continue on from there, you will come to the tall trees of Tabor. At that point, three men who are going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One of them will be carrying three young goats, one of them will be carrying three round loaves of bread, and one of them will be carrying a container of wine. They will ask you how you're doing and will give you two loaves of bread. You will accept them. Afterward, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there are Philistine officials. When you enter the town, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place. They will have harps, tambourines, flutes, and lyres, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. When these signs have taken place, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God will be with you. You will go down to Gilgal before me. I am going to join you there to offer burnt offerings and to make peace offerings. You should wait for 7 days until I arrive and tell you what to do." As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed his inmost person. All these signs happened on that very day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a company of prophets was coming out to meet him. Then the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. When everyone who had known him previously saw him prophesying with the prophets, the people asked one another, "What on earth has happened to this son of Kish? Does even Saul belong with the prophets?" A man who was from there replied, "And who is their father?" Therefore this became a proverb, "Is even Saul among the prophets?" When Saul had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where did you go?" Saul replied, "To look for the donkeys. But when we realized they were lost, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul said to his uncle, "He assured us that the donkeys had been found." But Saul did not tell him what Samuel had said about the matter of kingship. Then Samuel called the people together before the Lord at Mizpah. He said to the Israelites, "This is what the Lord God of Israel has said. I brought Israel up from Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of the Egyptians and from the power of all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But today, you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your trouble and distress. you have said, no, appoint a king over us. Now take your positions before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and the family of Matri was chosen by lot. At last, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen by lot. But when they looked for him, he was nowhere to be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, has the man arrived here yet? The Lord said, he has hidden himself among the equipment. So they ran and brought him from there. When he took his position among the people, he stood head and shoulders above them all. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see the one whom the Lord has chosen? Indeed, there is no one like him among all the people. All the people shouted out, long live the king! And Samuel talked to the people about how the kingship would work. He wrote it all down on a scroll and set it before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away to their homes. Even Saul went to his home in Gibeah. With him went some brave men whose hearts God had touched. But some wicked men said, how can this man save us? They despised him and did not even bring him a gift. But Saul said nothing about it. Nahash, the Ammonite, marched against Jabesh-Gilead. All the men of Jabesh-Gilead said to Nahash, make a treaty with us and we will serve you. But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, the only way I will make a treaty with you is if you let me gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and in so doing humiliate all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, leave us alone for 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout the territory of Israel. If there is no one who can deliver us, we will come out voluntarily to you. When the messengers went to Gibeah, where Saul lived, and informed the people of these matters, all the people wept loudly. Now Saul was walking behind the oxen as he came from the field. Saul asked, what has happened to the people? Why are they weeping? So they told him about the men of Jabesh. The Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and he became very angry. He took a pair of oxen and cut them up. Then he sent the pieces throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers who said, whoever does not go out after Saul and after Samuel should expect this to be done to his oxen. And the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they went out as one army. When Saul counted them at Bezek, the Israelites were 300,000 strong, and the men of Judah numbered 30,000. They said to the messengers who had come, here's what you should say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead. Tomorrow, deliverance will come to you when the sun is fully up. When the messengers went and told the men of Jabesh-Gilead, they were happy. The men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you can do with us whatever you wish. The next day, Saul placed the people in three groups. They went to the Ammonite camp during the morning watch and struck them down until the hottest part of the day. The survivors scattered. No two of them remained together. Then the people said to Samuel, who were the ones asking, will Saul reign over us? Hand over those men so we may execute them. But Saul said, no one will be killed on this day, for today the Lord has given Israel a victory. Samuel said to the people, come on, let's go to Gilgal and renew the kingship there. So all the people went to Gilgal, where they established Saul as king in the Lord's presence. They offered up peace offerings there in the Lord's presence. Saul and all the Israelites were very happy. John 6, 43 through 71. Jesus replied, "Do not complain about me to one another. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you the solemn truth. The one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that has come down from heaven so that a person may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews, who were hostile to Jesus, began to argue with one another, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the solemn truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood resides in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who consumes me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread your ancestors ate, but then later died. The one who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Then many of his disciples, when they heard these things, said, "This is a difficult saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining about this, he said to them, "Does this cause you to be offended? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. Human nature is of no help. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had already known from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. So Jesus added, "Because of this, I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has allowed him to come." After this, many of his disciples quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus replied, "Didn't I choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is the devil." Now he said this about Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for Judas, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Psalm 107, Book 5. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loyal love endures. Let those delivered by the Lord speak out, those whom he delivered from the power of the enemy and gathered from foreign lands, from east and west, from north and south. They wandered through the wilderness in a wasteland. They found no road to a city in which to live. They were hungry and thirsty. They fainted from exhaustion. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He led them on a level road that they might find a city in which to live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love and for the amazing things he has done for people. For he has satisfied those who thirst, and those who hunger he has filled with food. They sat in utter darkness, bound in painful iron chains, because they had rebelled against God's commands and rejected the instructions of the Most High. So he used suffering to humble them. They stumbled, and no one helped them up. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He brought them out of the utter darkness and tore off their shackles. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love and for the amazing things he has done for people. For he shattered the bronze gates and hacked through the iron bars. They acted like fools in their rebellious ways and suffered because of their sins. They lost their appetite for all food and they drew near the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He sent them an assuring word and healed them. He rescued them from the pits where they were trapped. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love and for the amazing things he has done for people. Let them present thank offerings and loudly proclaim what he has done. Some traveled on the sea in ships and carried cargo over the vast waters. They witnessed the acts of the Lord, his amazing feats on the deep water. He gave the order for a windstorm, and it stirred up the waves of the sea. They reached up to the sky, then dropped into the depths. The sailors' strength left them because the danger was so great. They swayed and staggered like drunks, and all their skill proved ineffective. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He calmed the storm, and the waves grew silent. The sailors rejoiced because the waves grew quiet, and he led them to the harbor they desired. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love and for the amazing things he has done for people. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. Let them praise him in the place where the leaders preside. He turned streams into a desert, springs of water into arid land, and a fruitful land into a barren place because of the sin of its inhabitants. As for his people, he turned a desert into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. He allowed the hungry to settle there, and they established a city in which to live. They cultivated fields and planted vineyards, which yielded a harvest of fruit. He blessed them so that they became very numerous. He would not allow their cattle to decrease in number. As for their enemies, they decreased in number and were beaten down because of painful distress and suffering. He would pour contempt upon princes, and he made them wander in a wasteland with no road. Yet he protected the needy from oppression and cared for his families like a flock of sheep. When the godly see this, they rejoice, and every sinner shuts his mouth. Whoever is wise, let him take note of these things. Let them consider the Lord's acts of loyal love. Proverbs 15, 1 through 3. A gentle response turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise treats knowledge correctly, but the mouth of the fool spouts out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on those who are evil and those who are good. Okay, so there are a couple things we need to talk about. First, in 1 Samuel, we see Saul ascend to kingship. He is the first monarch over the children of Israel. And we saw the whole way that it happened, right? Samuel's talking to Saul, telling him what he's going to experience on his way back to home. A prophetic word that comes true. The Spirit of the Lord rushes upon Saul. He prophesies. And then all the people are called together, and the tribe of Benjamin is chosen. And we should remember just a little bit ago, we're back in the book of Judges, and we see this terrible thing happen in the tribe of Benjamin in the city of Gibeah. And I mentioned then, Israel's first king is going to come out of the ashes of this. And so that's what's happening. The people all come together. The tribe of Benjamin is chosen by lot. Then Saul's family is chosen, and then Saul is chosen, and Saul is nowhere to be found. Saul is hiding. He's literally being called to become the king, and he is literally hiding from his calling. And that immediately becomes a mirror. How many times have we hid when we should have stepped forward into what we were being invited into by God? What we'll see as we get to know Saul a little bit better is that he definitely looks like a king. He looks the part, but he has absolute flaws within him that are debilitating, and we'll watch that. What we see today is that Saul fears other people. The fear of man is a dominant characteristic in his life as we get to know it here in Samuel. So his first act, an act of stepping forward into kingship, he's hiding. He's dominated by how things look, how he looks over what he is assigned to do. And we're going to watch this materialize until it turns into a severe amount of paranoia and mental illness, which we will see. And so Saul has plenty to teach us in the days ahead. Then we turn over into the Gospel of John, and I just once in a while refer to this as Jesus' vampire monologue, because what he says today actually clears out the circus atmosphere around him. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And I could continue on, but this is what Jesus is saying. And a lot of people are like, what are we talking about here all of a sudden? How does this work? And as this story plays out, many of his followers depart away from him. From the book of John, after this, many of his disciples quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. And Jesus did clarify that he wasn't saying somehow he was going to chop off a hand and everybody was going to share it and eat his hand and all the blood that came out of his arm, they were going to drink it. Jesus clarified, and I quote Jesus, "The Spirit is the one who gives life. Human nature is of no help. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." And so, from this, we are to understand that what Jesus is saying is spiritual. Christ within us will live eternally. Nevertheless, a lot of people split after this, and Jesus was never looking to be any kind of celebrity. He wasn't trying to build up some sort of platform for himself. He didn't like the circus atmosphere that surrounded him. He withdrew often, but in this case, kind of cleared the deck. A lot of people abandoned him at this point, which kind of leads us to one of the most touching scenes in the New Testament for this, because all of the people leave, and there's these 12 disciples who are following this rabbi, who have heard what he said and have watched the crowds disperse. They're just kind of standing around. And then Jesus looks to his friends, his 12 friends, and says, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Something about that touches me in my heart. God in the flesh, moving around the countryside, speaking the truth, unpacking the truth, trying to show people that they're living under a cloud, that they need to open their eyes and see what's really happening here, what God is actually doing, where he is leading. And they abandon him, and here's God with his 12 friends saying, Are you going to leave too? Are you taking off too? There's something pretty sad about that. But then Simon Peter sort of speaks for all of them. "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And I think that about nails it. And I think that's our point of meditation for today, a place to kind of center ourselves. We have drawn near to the Lord, and we have wandered far away, and we have walked away at times when we don't understand what he's doing and it's not what we want. We've probably shaken our fists at the sky in some sort of way over our circumstances. And if we could just kind of hear the echoes here. "You don't want to go away too, do you?" That just hits me in the heart. May we all respond as Peter did. "Where would we go? Only you can save us. We believe that you are the Holy One of God. Where else is there to go? So wherever you're going, we're going. And whatever you say, whether we understand it or not, we believe." May that well up within us today as we navigate the choices and the conversations that will come our way. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Lead us deeper into Jesus. Of course, we're not leaving. You would never leave or forsake us. Where else would we go? May this become true. May it become foundational in our hearts today, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. That is the website. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. And that's where to get plugged in. Check out the community section. There are links to different social media channels to connect. It is also the place where the prayer wall lives, which is a resource always available to us. We can always go there and ask for prayer, share what's going on. Sometimes it's such a relief to just say it, even if we're typing it, just to get it out. This is what I'm facing. And to feel the encouragement of brothers and sisters and their presence around us, encouraging us. That's the prayer wall, and that can be found in the community section, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you. Humbly, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. So thank you. Humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, there are a number of ways to reach out. You can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers you can call. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036-088078. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-882-0-5459 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello. My name is Annie, calling from Pennsylvania about my Aunt Kitty in California. I just adore her, and she's got really bad COPD. She's in her latter 80s, and I'm just worried that her time might be coming close to an end, and she doesn't know the Lord, and she thinks this life is all there is. So I just thought I would call and ask you guys to pray that just so the Holy Spirit would just take the veils off her understanding, her heart, and that make himself real. I even said, Lord, you could even come to her in person. And then she know she believes in God. But and I just love her. I've been praying for her for so many years to be saved. And I thought, I just love you guys. And my good dear friend just told me about you guys for the first time. I went through the whole last year. I didn't miss much at all of the daily readings. I just look forward to them. And anyway, so also my husband has like the latter stages of an MS type disease, and I've been his caregiver for years, and he's not doing too well either. So his name is Henry, and my Aunt Kitty, her name is Kitty, of course. So anyway, I love you all, and I love being part of this whole Daily Audio Bible campfire. That's so great. Okay, well, thank you so much. God bless you all and everyone who's listening. And just thank you again. I can't thank you enough. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Andrea. I called in a little while ago about my son, Jaden. He's dealing with severe acne and scarring from Accutane. We haven't seen much of a change yet, but I shared with him that I sent this to the prayer wall and called it in, and he was just so grateful. His face just broke into a huge smile of gratitude, and I just wanted to let you know how grateful we both are for all of your prayers. And please continue to pray that this gets healed and we figure out what's causing this. Thank you. I also want to say I hear your mom about the son who is in college and dealing with the depression and the marijuana. I just want to pray for him and know that we will be praying as a family for him. We've seen so much of this at the colleges, and my heart just broke when I heard that. So Lord, I just lift up this young man in your arms and in your care, that you will heal whatever is causing the depression, and that you will get him away from this dark energy and whatever he is dealing with that is causing this. And Lord, get him off this marijuana and help him find the truth in the Bible and the truth of your love and your healing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, it's James the teacher, and I'm in a deep, dark hole of depression right now. I'm on 2 feet and I've got clean clothes on for the most part, and that's a big deal. I'm going to go to my mom's house and help her organize some paperwork to get her real ID before her birthday. But I called in a while back saying that I'd done something dumb at work. I'd said dumb things in front of my classroom. If any of you out there are teachers, especially high school teachers, you know that sometimes you'll overshare, sometimes you'll get frank with students. I made some immature jokes, and I wouldn't do it again. But I've been on administrative leave for a month. I met with the head of HR, with my union rep. The district is recommending that I not be renewed for next year. I have until Monday, the 8th of May, to decide if I'm going to be at the meeting where they're going to discuss this. I can't dispute it because I don't have any tenure. I don't have protections. And right now I'm just praying that I haven't ruined my career as a teacher. But the thing is, I don't know how I can make custody stuff work and pay my bills. I know Jesus is good, but I feel like I'm the worst human being ever for ruining his gifts. So, love you, fam. Thanks.
Hi, my precious dad family. This is Prisoner of Hope. I just had it on my heart today. I was just thinking about how some of us as followers of Christ just think God is mad at us and that maybe he's even out to get us. And I just feel like somebody needs to hear this. And the fact is that God loves us so much that he didn't want to leave us in our sin. And Satan wants you to think that God sees you as unworthy. But when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his son. And he's not ashamed of you. And all judgment and sin have just been taken care of by him. He's not out to get you or ruin you. His delight is in you, even in all your sin and your brokenness and your darkness and your defeat and your pain, in your worst failures, in my worst failures. And when it comes right down to it, he wants to protect you and teach you and enjoy you because you're fully a son or daughter that belongs to him. And he's not just trying to get you to conform, but he wants to transform you through his son, Jesus. And he's Lord and Savior, but he's also your friend. And I think that's neat that he calls us friends. And so, I don't know. This was just on my heart. I've been there where I thought God was just out to get me, and I just want everyone to know he's not. And I don't know. We're no longer defined as sinners. He calls us saints. And we're his beloved. We're his new creation. So don't trust in the assessment that you have for yourself, but trust in who he says you are. And I don't know, just by believing that, the power of the lie that you believe about yourself vanishes, and he'll heal you. And his love is relentless because no matter what, you matter to him. So I want you all to know that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I cry out to Lisa from the East Coast. Lisa, this is Jersey Jane for Jesus, and it is the May 3rd DAB, and I was absolutely overwhelmed by what you were saying. You spoke clearly, confidently, and yet faced this unknown cancer. God knows what that cancer is. So we need to continue to lift you up in prayer. And if it isn't your time, it's God's time. And you will have everlasting peace. But meanwhile, you're here with us. And I want you to know that you are loved. And I feel proud of you that you could come and speak about it so clearly when it's such a painful thing. And I heard you say, even on a good day, you can't let it out of your mind. You still think about it. My heart goes out to you, sweetie. You're a young woman, and it's a sad thing to face. I don't know how you cope except through Jesus. He's the only one I can think of to go to. But your dad's family loves you, and we're all praying for you and for calm.
Hello, DAB family. This is Rob Still, worship dude in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am calling to request your prayers for myself and also for a group of missionaries. So basically, I want to say, guys, remember to pray for those who serve on the mission field. I am right now in an undisclosed country, and there are I'm part of a leadership discipleship training event that's serving many, many different missionaries and teachers and leaders and disciple makers from really all over the world. They're gathering here for this event. And really just, I'm asking for your prayers. I'm asking for your prayers for those who have dedicated their lives to proclaiming the gospel in some of the hardest to reach places in the world with some of the most difficult jobs there are, I believe, in the world. And they just need the power of the Holy Spirit. And they need the prayers of the body of Christ all over the world to support them. So just remember whoever your missionaries are, and I appreciate your prayers for me. And I thank you for that. Hey, also, I just want to say thanks for all of you guys who pray and who call in to pray. I want to especially give a shout out to Sparky. It was a couple of months ago, you encouraged us just to call in our prayers. And I thought, I need to do that. And it's taken me a while, but here I am. And also, I wanted to say the young lady, I think her name was Early Bird. She called in a couple of weeks with difficulties with her work. And I just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. Daniel Johnson Jr. with your work situation. Brother, I've been praying for you. Kingdom Seeker Daniel, I want you to know I'm praying for you and your family. There's so many of you guys. So thank you for your faithfulness to call in and to pray. The Lord be with you.